Okay, this is our last session of the year, so
we can answer.
Many, many other good topics in the first paragraph of Kiddushin that we didn't get to, but we really did hit quite a number of big ones, even though we jumped around. I said we jumped around a little bit, Kedarkeinu, but we really hit a lot of the bigger topics in the first paragraph of Kiddushin. But it's really worth continuing this through till Daf Yud. You'll see that we've pretty much done most of it. But
could we continue next year?
What?
Could we continue next year?
In what? Kiddushin? I'll think about it. But,
what's that?
I'm not sure yet. Either Sukkah is a possibility. As soon as I know, I'll pass on the work. Okay, the last topic that we're going to do, that we've been in the middle of doing, is the topic of Mekadesh B'Milvah. We're in the middle of it already, so I want to continue with that. It's really also a massive topic, and we can just continue and learn Mekadesh B'Milvah next year. Right? So it's a very important topic. So let's just go over the Gemara again. I'll tell you, we've done some of it already, and we'll continue from where we kind of left off. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, just to go back to the main couple of texts, the Gemara says there are three main Gemaras about Milvah in Kiddushin. So the first one is the Gemara here on Vav Amud Beis. We'll go out of sequence a little, but the first one is in sequence, so that's Amar Abaya, Mekadesh B'Milvah, Eina Mekudeshes. Right in the middle of a page, Bahanos Milva Mekudeshes. Osolasos came Mipnei. I don't have my sheet. Do we have an extra sheet, by the way? I don't want to steal yours, but maybe if any of the Burmans are here, maybe they have extra sheets. What? You have an extra one? Only if it's extra. Okay.
But I memorized it.
Oh, okay.
I memorized it.
Okay, thank you. So, Hamakadosh Milva Eina Mekudeshes, V'Hanos Milva Mekudeshes, V'Asolasos Kein Mipnei Aramas Rivas. So basically, Abaya said that if you're Mekadosh with an outstanding loan, which means that the woman in question, Sarah, owes money to Reuven. Reuven says, I want to marry you. And instead of giving you a pruta or $100 or a ring or whatever it is that he would be giving her, he says, I want to marry you. And the Kesef Kiddushin should be the $100 debt that you owe me. We're going to wipe that off the books, and that money is going to be considered the Kesef Kiddushin. That does not work. That's not a proper Kiddushin. And that's how we paskin. Everybody agrees that we paskin that Mekadesh B'Milvah. I'll explain why I'm saying that in a minute. But Mekadesh B'Milvah is Eina Mekudeshes. And the explanation that is usually given has at least something to do with what the Gemara says later on Mem Zayin Omid Aleph, and that is that Milva lahotza nitna. And that's what Rashi quotes here as well. That milva is given to be spent, meaning if I give you $100 as a loan, if you have not yet taken that actual cash and spent it, that is, according to the way we paskin, irrelevant. The second I give it to you, it's intended to be spended, and therefore there is no longer a status of be'en. Now, even if the coins are still jingling in your pocket, or the money is still sitting on your kitchen table, right? The fact that you received it is what's important. The fact that it still remains intact is irrelevant. That's what the words milva, lahotza, nitna, means. The milva was given with the intention that you spend it. Now, it's considered spent money, even if it's be'en. Yeah. Yeah.
It just hit me, and it's not really totally relevant, but when we're talking about kesef, we're talking about coins, correct?
No.
Because if you're talking about dollars, a dollar itself is a milva.
Well, not really. I mean, a dollar is probably...
It's a debt?
I mean, we're not talking about coins in the perek hazav sense of tibba and peira. We're not talking about that. We're talking about giving a value. But where something represents a value, that could be coinage, it could be some other symbolic usage. But it's not, we don't view dollars as a loan from the government. We use them as a currency, right? Even if it isn't a coin, right, that is worth something. Now, it's worth asking, whether or not what qualifies, let's say, as money, itself depends on whether or not we're dealing with an area in halacha about which we say that shava kesef is kekesef, meaning that we're accepting not only money, right, but value in its place. So if I can, you know, if I can give you my watch, which is worth X amount on the market, instead of money, right, that's shava kesef. So it's possible that where shava kesef doesn't work, we also might be stricter about what we consider to be real money and whether we require davar sheish batsura, davar she, you know, yotze bashuk, you know, and then again, then you get into the issues in the first sugya, really, of Perek Hazav, which is that there's something called tiva and something called peira. That's if we exchange between us, who's giving, you know, what's money and what's the commodity, you know, being bought. But mostly in this sugya, when it comes to Kiddushin and Mekach HaMemkar and so on, mostly that is not so relevant. Mostly when we speak about kesef, we don't mean coins, we mean kesef, shava kesef, and so on. And in that respect, a dollar is not a debt.
So my point is, technically, a dollar or what passes for money.
It could be that the government stands behind it.
Well,
and maybe the government is propped up by lending, but that's different than saying it's a debt. In other words, it's not the debt. What makes something a debt and lahotza nitna is the fact that there is no be'en whatsoever. There's nothing tangible whatsoever. In other words, it's basically a series or an exchange of hischaibuyos. I give you $100 if it's a Jewish loan, without interest, that in itself is kind of an act of tzedakah. And you are then obligated to repay me $100. And the question is there any kind of legal, you know, status in between? And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about. Okay, so that's Mekadesh Milva Eina Mekudeshes. Hanos Milva, which is Mekudeshes, so the Gemara goes on to explain, is a case, Banos Milva Mekudeshes, V'asalas Eskeim Pnei Ramas Ribis. And then the Gemara says, "Hi, Anos Milva Hechadami." What are we talking about? Ilei Meda Askefa, the Amar La Arba V'Chamisha Haribis Malyasa. If we're talking about a situation where I give you an interest loan, that's I give you four, I say on condition you give me back five, and then I want to be Makadesh you, I mean in this case her, with the five, with the fifth, with the Ribis money. So the Gemara says, number one, that's Ribis Malyasa, that's real Ribis. And what the Gemara means by that, we discussed last week. There's a debate. In other words, if you're Mekadesh Beribis, does it work, or is that like Gezel? That's a debate in the Rishonim. We're not going to review that now, but we did discuss that last week. Moreover, the Gemara says, Va'od Hainu Milva, meaning that's also a form of Milva, because even though the person is not allowed to charge it, the other fellow obligated himself to pay it. So that's Ribis. So that's not Hanas Ribis. So the Gemara says, L'shricha da'arva chazin. We're talking about a case where the loan is outstanding, it's due at a certain date, and the hanas milva is the value that the person would pay, right, for someone to intervene on their behalf to extend the loan. So if Sarah wants to have another 30 days before she has to repay the loan, the $1 million loan, would it not be worth at least a pruta for her? You know, if he would just extend it, or if she would pay a pruta, or more than a pruta, a multiple of prutos, to some advocate on her behalf who would intervene and would, you know, secure her an extension of the loan, for sure. That's called Hanas Milva. Rashi goes further, and Rashi says that there's a simpler case of Hanas Milva, and that is Hanas Mechilas Milva. In other words, let's say he wanted to be Mekadisher, not with the $100 that she owes him, but with the pleasure that she gets from not having to give him back anything. That's not with the money, but with the joy of being debt-free. Now, that's a very subtle thing. She's debt-free because the $100, you know, is no longer being collected. And by the same token, if he wants to be Mekadisher with the $100, he's not collecting the $100. But legally, they're different, because in one case, I am relating to the $100 as an existing commodity, and the problem is that maybe it doesn't really exist. As you said, it's not tangible, and therefore it's milva lahotza nitna, and it doesn't qualify. But everybody will agree that there is benefit and pleasure. If I have a $100 debt over my head, and then it's you know, it's gone, that brings me a lot of pleasure. You know, $100 worth of pleasure, $80 worth of pleasure. Certainly pleasure, more than a pruta, that's for sure.
But
right?
But he has to say it.
Yeah. So then he'd have to say, Ariat Makadeshly, Bahanas Mechilas Milva. If he just says Makadesh with the Milva, it's not going to work. This is one Gemara. The problem that we discussed last week is that Rashi, when he talks about this Gemara, says, Eina Makadeshas, the Kicha Kicha Misteafron Gamrinan, the Yoiv Midi Bishas Kiddushin, Umilva Lhotzanitna, Ukvarin Shalom, Mosacher Michayavaslo. Rashi, for some reason, brings in here Kicha Kicha Misteafron, implying that the reason that Kiddushin is not Chal Vanilva is a Kiddushin type halacha, and even implying that had the source for Kiddushin Kesef been not Kicha Kicha, but let's say the Yatzachina Main Kasef, right, then maybe Milva would be good. So that's a question that the Achronim ask. They're very bothered by this Rashi. The Merome Sadeh, look here on number 9, Pirsh Rashi, Eino Mekudeshes, Dekicha Misteafron Gamrinan, Deyoiv Midi B'Shas Kiddushin, Ve'eino Muvan. Everybody have it, line 9 on page 1? Eino Muvan, it's not understandable. My boy Rashi Bazeh, what does Rashi want with this? My nafkamina inafkam Misteafron Amiyotachinam and Kasav, Karav. Who cares what the limud is? Either way, Kiddushin should not be Chal B'Milva, because Milva is not tangible, and you need a tangible Kenyan. So Rashi, so the Netziv says, when you're a Desfilei L'Rashi, Dabaya lo ba lomar shmeitza derav lahalon man zayinu ben aleph amikadosh milveinu mekudeshes ala beemes cholak abaya rav ubecholzos eina mekudeshes. Basically, what the Netziv says, and others say something similar, is that there are two different gemaras, two different authors, and two different meanings. The gemara here thinks that there's something particularly problematic about kiddushin b'milva. The Gemara Mem Zayin Omen Aleph, look at that for just a minute, it's another Gemara. That's not Abaya, but Rav. The Gemara says that the two dots and the wide lines. Everybody have it? Wide lines, two dots. On Mem Zayin Omen Aleph. Oba Rav. Habakadish Bimilva Eina Mekudeshes. Right? Same as a different author, but it seems like the same thing, right? I'm a Rav, I'm a Kaddish B'milva, ain't I'm a Kodeshes. We can't be Makadish B'milva. But here, the Gemara gives the reasoning, Milva lahotzanitna, right? Milva was given with the intention of being spent. So the Gemara says, Neima Katanai. Maybe there's an argument about this. I'm a Kaddish B'milva, ain't I'm a Kodeshes. V'yesho Neima Kodeshes. There's an argument whether or not Kaddish B'milva is or isn't Mekudeshes. It's already different than our Gemara. Two, right? Number one, it's Rav, not Abaya. Number two, the reasoning is given explicitly, Milva Lotzanitna. Number three, the Gemara is telling us that there's a debate whether Kaddish B'milva Mekudeshes or not. So then the Gemara says, My lab b'ho kamiflegi, Mar Savar Milva Lotzanitna, Mar Savar Milva Lav Lotzanitna. Right? What are they arguing about? Whether or not Milva is considered a be'en, right? Even if it's not yet spent or not. So the Gemara says, V'tizbra, ema seifa, the shavim b'mecher, shezek kana, right? The Gemara says in the seifa of this braisa, that the same is true for mecher. That in mecher, milva will work. So the Gemara says, or this case will work. So the Gemara says, iomris milva lo tzan itna, if you're talking about milva, which is lo tzan itna, how can it work in mecher? But my kani, how will it work? After all, mecher and kiddushin should be the same. That's this gemara. So the gemara's answer is Amar Rav Nachman, Huna Chavrin Mukum La Bemili Uchri. Ochem B'Mayaskin. And then the gemara gives all sorts of hechatimtzis what this case is talking about. What's the takeaway from this gemara? Number one, it's Rav. Number two, there's a reason. Number three, there's a machlokas. And number four, there's a statement that what? Most important statement of all, Kiddushin and Mechar are the same. But if Kiddushin and Mechar are the same, then what's Kicha Kicha Misteafron have to do with anything? So that's what the Netziv means when he says, two Gemaras, and they argue. And this is how some people interpret the Rambam. Because the Rambam, in Hilchos Ishos Perek, just give me one more second. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishos, Parakei Halacha Yud Gimel, if you look at that for a minute, on page 3, line number 12, the Rambam says, "Amekadish b'milva filo hoysa b'shtar ina mekudesh." Yes? Right? Ketzad. Kigon shayelo etzla chov b'dinar v'amal aret mekudesh es b'dinar she'esh li b'yadech. He says, "I want to marry you with the outstanding debt." Eina mekudeshes. So it doesn't work. Mipnei shamilva lahotzon itna, because milva is given to spend, meaning it's not tangible. Vein kandavar kayim li honos bo meyata shekvar hotzia osadino v'avra hana. There's not enough hana. Now this idea that you require hana is not a requirement in mamonis. It's only a requirement in kiddushin. We know this from other Rambams. So what does the Rambam seem to be saying? Like, milva does not work in kiddushin, but he's giving a local kiddushin reason. You'd think that maybe that shouldn't apply to mecher, but that would be against the Gemara Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, right? Right. So what's it, so let's nicely say for Vinekazi, as I always say, the genius in the Rambam's work, in addition to everything else, is that it's a closed system. The Rambam wrote Kol HaTorah Kula, so it's easier the Rambam than any other Rishon. Still, I can't always find, but to find out what he thinks about other things and to see the whole picture in front of us, because he wrote about everything. So what we have to do is, we have to find where the Rambam speaks about Mekachumikar and see whether he says Milva works or doesn't work. Right? So what do? We open up Hilchos Mechira. So look at Perek He and Perek Zayin Hilchos Mechira in the Rambam. It's on page 4. Right? Lines 1 and 10. Let's do one first. The top of the page. V'chein Ruvain shemachar metalfel l'shivim v'chamishim zuz. Ruvain sold a watch to Shimon for $50. Okay? Shimon, v'kana shimon ha-metalfelin, and Shimon acquired, therefore, the watch for $50. B'nischaya b'damim. And he owes the money, but he didn't pay it yet. He didn't write him didn't hand him over $50. He took the watch, and now he owes him $50, right? Okay. The achar shenischayev Shimon b'chamishim zuz elu. And after this happened, something unanticipated occurred. Okay, hoyelo yayin o behema o eved b'kiyotzim b'shar metaltlin b'yirotzim achron. What happened was, lo and behold, right? He saw something that he wanted to buy from him. A barrel of wine, an eved, an animal, it doesn't matter. And he said to him, Amar lo Ruvain, Mechor osoli b'chamishim zuz, sheyeshli b'yadech, demei amecher. Amar lo hein. He said, listen, I owe you $50. Or he says, you owe me $50. I want to buy that barrel of wine from you. Right? Instead of my buying the wine and you giving me the $50, why don't I acquire the wine with the debt of $50? Right? What is that? That's mecher b'mil, al yidei milva. So now we're going to see what the Rambam says about it. The Rambam says, kona ru'uvein ha-metaltalin b'chol mokom shehe. Af ha-mishol ha-moshach v'lo ha-gbiya, shegam z'dover shena matzui, v'lo tzvicha ba-mashicha. Normally, midaraisa, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah Mos Konos, right? I mean, a Torah you can acquire even metaltalin through money. Midrabanan, we say it doesn't work because we're worried that if you acquire something that way, since it's not in your possession, if something happens to it, there's no incentive for anybody, for the previous owner, to go out of his way to save it. So if there's a fire, let's say, Khalilah, right, in his attic, and the goods that he sold by money are in the attic, right? The mocher has no incentive to save it because it doesn't belong to him anymore. So what they said was, midrabanan yidin mishicha, because mishicha only applies when the new owner takes it into his possession, right? However, bedavar shalosh chiyach, if it's in a very unusual case, they left the dvar Torah mos konos. So that's what the Rambam says here. This is going to work midin mos konos. Where's the mos? The milva is the mos. If it's a regular debt, didn't come about as a mecher, it's not this two-stage process, that's still shkiyach, lo shkiyach, that's not lo shkiyach, sorry. That's still shkiyach. And therefore, sheyesh etzelcha v'ratzu shneim, lo kanat shiagbiya, o yimshoch, davar shen darko lahagbiya. What does comes out? Yikneb echad drachim shem talten nikimba. The Rabbi disagrees, but that's for other reasons here. This is a Gemara. Basically, this is the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara. Look here on Chav Ches Amid Beis for a minute. Once we have all the background, you'll see what happened here. The Gemara says... the Gemara says, Ketzad... This is 3, 6, 9 lines down from the top of the page on Chav Ches Amid Beis. Everybody have it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Hachi Kamar, Yesh Damim Shehen Kechalipin. Right? Yesh Damim Shehen Kechalipin. Ketzad. Hichlif Dmei Shor Bepara. Right? A man exchanged... the value of a shor, dmei shor, bepara, o dmei chamor b'shor, right? Meaning, what is that? That's exactly this case. Meaning, he bought an item, he owes, the other fellow owes him money, and then they decide, instead of paying the debt, they're going to neutralize the debt by some other purchase, right, in the other direction. That's what hichlif dmei shor bepara o dmei chamor b'shor is. My time, huh? Sava k'Rab Yochanan d'amar dvar Torah mos konos ma tamor m'shicha konik zera shema yomer lo nisrifu chutecha ba'aliya milson shkiyach gozer rabbanan milson lo shkiyach lo gozer rabbanan. Okay? That's the Gemara.
No, this one, dmei shor means that he bought a shor instead of a watch. Why is it called dmei shor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because originally the Mishnah is called Nasa Damim Ba'acher, Ketzad Tamar Achshor Nechamar. So basically, what's going on here? This is the way the Rambam read this Mishnah. Now look at, it's even clearer on Zion Dalet. Look at back in the Rambam, this is page 4, starting from line 11. Misha Hoyelachov Etzel Chaveiro, right? V'amar lo mechor li chav shel yayin. Good. What happened? Person has a debt, meaning the friend, Shimon owes money to Reuven. Reuven has a debt over Shimon's head, literally. Shimon owes him money. The Amalon, he said, Shimon, you owe me $100, right? You have a barrel of wine, give me the wine instead of the $100. Right? Or let me use the debt, in other words, to acquire the wine. V'ratza mocher. Hareza kemisha nasan adam imata. V'kolachozer mekabel mishapara. That's as if he gave him money, even though it's a milva. There's something called a mishapara, because min haTorah we say, Dvar Torah mos konos but midrabanan, it doesn't work. But there's something called a mishapara. It's a curse, kind of. In other words, a commitment. You can't back, if you give money, even if the money doesn't work as a kinyan, it works to solidify the commitment, and you're not allowed to back out from it. Lefikach im machalo karka. Let's say it wasn't metaltalin, but it was karka. Karka is nikna bekasef. Point to everybody. Why is it no gzera of drabanan, the equivalent of shema yishnis refuchitecha by karka? Because the karka is sitting on the ground, right? It's not sitting in somebody's attic, right? So and it can't burn down. I mean, the crops can burn down, but the so lefikach in machar lo karka bechovo ein echad yachal atzar alpa bishen mos hamilva mitzuyos b'shas hamacher. What is the Rambam saying in both of these Rambams? That milva works in mecher. Wow, says the Raibid here. Amar Avram lo yadati ze lama. Why should this be? Shari hushva gaonim kulam. Right, milva lo tzon itna. The Gaonim all agree that Milva is Lotzon Nitna. The Enakin is seen as Mos Klal. A Milva is not like giving money. What's he quoting? The Shavim B'mecher. The Gemara says in the second parak of Kiddushin that was true for Kiddushin, namely that Milva doesn't work, is also true for Mecher. Shezek Kone. The Milva lo tzanit the Mecher maikana. So we see from the Gemara that Milva doesn't work, not in Kiddushin and not in Mecher. How can the Rambam say it works in Mecher twice? Right? So, the answer of many of the Nosekele, of any of the acronym is, this is Machlokas HaSugya. It's not the same Sugya. Our Gemara only says that Kiddushin doesn't work. The Gemara Mem Zayin Amid Aleph says Kiddushin and Mecher are the same. But the Gemara in Chav Chesu Amid Beis says, according to the way the Rambam and Rashi read it, that Milva works. So the Rambam paskins that Milva works in Mecher, and Milva doesn't work in Ishus. Now we know why he gave the explanation in Ishus that was very specific to Hana in Kiddushin, the Rambam Lashitaso. That's one approach. One could go even further. And that is based on what the Rav said, although I don't think he took it further in terms of this part, and I'll explain what I mean. The Rav wanted to say the following idea. And that is, I think I started with explaining this last week, and that is that there's a difference between the role of Milva in Kesef and the role of Milva in what we'll call Piraon, or Ma'os. Meaning, as we've seen all throughout the year, there are two ways to look at the Kinyan of Ma'os, or Kesef. One is that it goes directly to the value itself. It's about the value. It's an exchange of value. So, for example, if I want to buy a $100 field, from a value point of view, I would have to buy it for $100. It's not enough to buy, give it a pruta. Everybody agrees I can give a pruta, but maybe the reason is because when I give a pruta, I'm zokef hashar b'milba. I kind of flip the rest of it as a milba. But really, I should be paying the full amount. Or is kesef not about value, but it's a symbolic idea of an exchange of a little value, in which case I'm buying the karka with a shava pruta. So what I wanted to say was as follows. Milva is a perfectly good piron, it's just not a good kesef. Because kesef is about the exchange, it's about the formality. It's about me giving you symbolically, handing over something that, you know, is that qualifies, like we were discussing before, as kesef. Milva doesn't have that, because milva's lo tonitna. The milva's sitting on his table, or it's been spent. Or even if it's on its table, it's the equivalent of being spent. So I'm not giving him any. There's no exchange. There's no moment or physical action of kinyan at all. It's not kesef. But what is piron? Piron is basically the exchange of value. So does it really make a difference if I give you $100 for something worth $100, or I give you, or I neutralize the debt, or I cancel the debt of $100, and we'll that will constitute the tashlume piron, in its place? It's no difference. It's $100 value, right? So what the Rav said was as follows. This is really very good. He just pointed out that there's a difference between karka and metalfalin. Right? The Mishnah says later on that karka is nicknames the kesef bishar v'chazaka. Kesef, shar, chazaka. And there are limudim for each of these. V'nosana kesef v'kamlo. We have a limud which teaches us the din of kesef. What about metalfalin? So metalfalin is a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, like we just said, whether Dvar Torah Mos Konos, but Midrabanan you need more, or Midoraisa only Meshicha. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah Mos Konos. But what's particularly interesting about it is there's no, the Gemara never says Minalon. What's the Makar? The Ramban in Perek HaZov in Bav Metzia has two deos. What's the Makar? And one dea is that it's based on a pasuk. The other day is that it's based on a svara. Why can't you exchange metalfalin, right, for money? Why not? Karka is a little different, because karka li olam hamades, there's a mystique about karka, and there's a permanence about karka, right? So it is both more difficult to exchange, and also easier to exchange at the same time. Meaning, you can't really pick up the karka and put it in your pocket. can't own it in that way. But you can own its tashmishim, right, its use, and you know, you can pay for that. That's why, again, ein ona bekarkos, right? And ein shmira bekarkos. There's a whole bunch of things where karka is simply unique. But the point is as follows, that in most, the money, this question about piron or kesef, gufa, there's a lot of evidence that it breaks down in terms of talpalin and karka. Karka is a formal kinyan kesef. Talpalin is an informal svara of, we'll call it, mos. Right? And the mos is, so maybe that's the pshat in the Rambam. But the Rambam is saying, is not only there's a difference between necher and kiddushin, but there's a difference between karka and metalpalin. The Rambam says lefikach. Why does Rambam say lefikach if milva will work with karka? So the Rambam wanted to explain that the idea was that karka works in both ways. Karka works with kesef. That's what the Rambam speaks about in Perek Aleph Hilchos Mechira. Perek Aleph Hilchos Mechira is about karka. How come the Rambam only mentions that milva works in karka in Perek Zayin when he speaks about metalpalin? Right, that's poor organization. So the Rav thought, no. The idea is that as the unique kinyan of karka with money, which is called kesef, milva wouldn't work for that. For the same reason it wouldn't work in kiddushin. Where you need a formal nesinas kesef, milva lo tzonin, that's not tangible, it's not going to work. Where will it work? Mos, konos, minatora, and metalpalin. But what the Rambam says is lefikach. If Mos really works minatora, then karka has two ways of being acquired. One is through kesef, and the other is through Mos or piron. And that's what the Rambam says, since milva is a form of piron, Mos, so even in karka, it will work with milva. So I want to add just one more point, and that is, A lot of the Mefarshim say about the Rambam that he obviously thinks that it's a machlokas between different Gemaras, right? And since it's a machlokas between different Gemaras, he paskins that milva works in Necher and milva doesn't work in Kiddushin. But I don't think that's true. I think it goes further than that. If you look at the Tosas Riya Zakein on Mem Zayin Omen Aleph, and he has it again in Chofkas, he seems to be saying that the difference between the Gemara, one of the differences between the Gemara in Chav Ches and Mem Zayin, is that the Gemara in Mem Zayin, right, is talking about karka. The Gemara in Chav Ches is explicitly talking about chamor and para. It's talking about metalkalin. So basically, there's not even a stira in the Gemaras.
It doesn't mention Eved.
What?
It doesn't mention Eved.
Okay, and where would Eved be? That's a question. Yeah, okay. Right. Eved is a bit of a tricky issue. In general, Eved is something in between karka and metalpalin. So this is an important approach to this whole idea of milva. The Netziv has a little bit of a different suggestion. Yeah?
Does the Torah have an example of metalpalin being purchased?
The other day of the Ramban in Azov, if it's not a Svara, is that it's, you know, Ocha B'Kesef Yishbereini. You know, when they were traveling, you know, towards Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, they beseeched, you know, their neighbors, you know, for food. So they said, B'derech HaMelech Neilech, we'll pay you for the food. So that's according to Ramban, that is a candidate for the acquiring of food with money.
Yosef.
What about Yosef?
That's right. The brothers kind of things to bring back bread.
Kesef.
Oh, okay. The fiyah, yeah. I guess so. Yeah. So I mean but the point is that it makes total sense because of course milva is value. Right? The problem with milva is that it's not a formal nesina. That's exactly the point. Yeah?
So, in Kiddushin, you need real kesef.
Nesina.
So, how do you understand, the, like, mechilas
Mechilas is because that's through Hana. That's a whole different idea. In other words, Rekod Lefanai, right? If Adabra Alayich Leshilton, I'll use my political influence, for you. That works too. There's no exchange, physical exchange, of money in those cases. And according to some Rishonim, that is the pshat in things like Arev, certainly Arev Chashu, meaning Tein Mana Laploni, right? Vakadesh Ani Lok. She says to Reuven, give money, lend money to Shimon. If you lend money to Shimon, I'll be your wife. How does that work? Gemara says Mekudesh, it's Midin Arev. That's like a guarantor. Some Rishonim think, there's a big debate, as on Zion ben Aleph, right? Next Gemara almost. Some Rishonim think because an Arev, a guarantor, is like a Lova. Even though the money doesn't go into his pocket, but for all intents and purposes, legally he has the status of a Lova because he's directing where the money goes. So from that point of view, she's saying, listen, don't put the money in my hand, but I'm telling you where to put it, and that's the equivalent. Fine. That's not relevant to your question. The other 50% of the Rishonim, including the Rambam, say that what happens in Arev is Bahi Hana. She says, listen, that he responds to her request, that is the Kesef Kiddusha. Like a Davar Laich L'Shulton. So the point is, Hana'as Milva, being a Kaddish Hana'as Milva, not with the money, but simply with the joy that she has, that she is unencumbered by debt, that is equivalent of Nesina's Kesef. But that's a typical Nesina by means of Hana. The problem is that the Milva, you're not doing it Midin Hana, you're doing it Midin the money. You're saying strictly, this is $100. This is, and it's not, because it's not the Hana, and it's not 100. And it's not Nesina's 100. Piron of 100. Yeah?
According to the Yesh Yomim, you say Milva is Konevik Dishon. The money, the loan was spent, would it still work?
That's a very good, in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. That is a very, very good question. That seems to be a second debate in the Rishon. In other words, are they only arguing, they seem to be arguing about the Milva L'Otzonitna. So is the argument of Milva L'Otzonitna when the money is there on the table, which is what you're saying, or is that something about the nature of loans? In which case, even if the money's been spent, It's the fact that, it's owed and it's a debt. That's what makes it tangible enough. So I'm going to explain that. I think just to highlight that further, let's talk about that. We'll talk about that now, actually. So let me highlight it in two ways. Number one, the Netziv that I wanted to get back to, what does he say? The Netziv says that whether Mekadosh B'Milvah is Mekudeshes or Einu Mekudeshes depends on another machlokas in the Gemara. And that is whether or not Shibuda is Daraisa or Lav Daraisa. Where is this? Page. Second. Look back on page 1. Everybody have line 15 on page 1? This is a very remarkable netziv. He says it also in the Shiltos. Usvir le l'Rashi, detalya b'shibuda d'oraisa. Because he thinks that Rashi and the Rambam think it's a machlokas asugyas, whether we say milva is going to work in mecha or not. Right? So he says, I think that according to Rashi, it depends whether you hold, I'll explain what this means in a minute, shibuda d'oraisa or not. Rav Latamei, this is the clever part, that Rav, who says in Kiddushin Mem Zayin Amud Aleph that Milva doesn't work for Mecher, he's consistent with his view, Bishili Baba Basra, Kuf Ayin He, that Shibud is Lav Daraisa. Mishim Hachi, Eino Kinyan. Rav Braisa, Dir Rav Priya Biba Metzia Samach Beis Kavaseh. The Rava Masik Raboshe Usfir LeShibur Daraisa V'Kona B'Milva B'Halka Sfir LeLabaya V'Kamakom Inu Mekudeshes because of Kicha Kicha Mistafra. What does the Netziv say? The Netziv takes the view, like some of the others, that the Gemaras are not the same. Even though the Baal Amor, Tosfos Ritza, same Gemara. Kaddish Milvein and Mekudeshes, doesn't work in Mechira. We saw the Ravid, right, also said Mechira, Kedushin, all the same. That's the majority view. The only ones who might be arguing are Rashi and the Rambam. So the Netziv's idea is as follows. The Netziv says like this. There is a debate in Shas whether Shibud HaDoraisa or not. What does Shibud HaDoraisa mean? Well, it means a few things. But let's keep it simple. It means the following. Let's say I lend you money, right? So you owe me $100. I lend you $100, you owe me $100. Question is, it's just a Chovas HaGavra? Just a personal obligation? Or does it also include, right, a mortgage on your property? In other words, what about all the karka that you owned at the time of the incurring the debt? Is it going to be lien to the repayment or to the securing of this loan? So let's say again, Shimon borrows $100 from Reuven. At the time that he borrowed it, he had other property that would, you know, secure the loan. And then he sold us that property, one by one. Right? Can the Malva, you know, if he has no other options, can he seize, right, that leaned property from the subsequent Lokeach, or not? Everybody with me? Yes. That's the question of Shibud HaDoraisa. So let's assume for the moment, the real Shibud HaDoraisa debate is about Milval Peh. Let's assume Milval Peh for the moment. Right? No contract. So what the Netziv says is, if you think that Shibuda is Doraisa, then you should be able to be Mekade, you should be able to be Mocher or Bimilva. And if you think Shibuda is Lav Doraisa, then it won't work as a means of acquiring Metaltalin or Mecher either. What do you want to do with the other? He means it in a bit of a narrower way. What he means is, the second, if you hold Shibud HaDoraisa, the second I borrow money, it's not just that I have a personal obligation to repay. Because that's floating in the air. That's not tangible. That's not concrete. Immediately, my land is partially owned by the Malva. So if the Malva has a piece of my land, right, as a lien, right, so that is concrete. Right? When he uses that, when he wants a Mekadesh or Mocher or Lokeach with that, in a way, the chips on the table are not just the personal obligation to repay, there's also the legal status, quasi-kinyan, in the karka of the Malva. Right? The result is that it's no longer completely, it is lohotzonitna in terms of the money on the table, but it's not completely lohotzonitna because it's somewhat secured, right, by this lien. So by concretizing it that way, you kind of solve a lot of the problem of using a milva. So that's what Tziv says. Tziv says, the Gemara and Mem Zayin and Aleph thinks she would allow the Raisa. It's all very amorphous. It's just a group of Chovas HaGavras. It doesn't work for anything. But the Gemara and Vav Medbeis, our Gemara, you know, and that's how the Rambam Paskin, they hold Shibuda Doraisa. So it's concrete. What I would like to say is to go one step further, because the Netziv's only saying this, sounds like here and in the Shiltos when he says this, it's only in a situation where there actually is karka. In other words, let's say at the time of the debt, there was a piece of land that secured the loan. But let's say Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon had no property to serve as a lien. Would the Netziv still say that if you hold Shibud HaDoraisa, I mean, so what if you hold Shibud HaDoraisa? There's still nothing there. Right? But if you ask me, I thought the Netziv was onto something great, and you should have just gone one step further with it, and say that the fact, whether there is karka or not, is beside the point. The fact that if there's karka, the personal obligation is concrete enough to generate a kinyan in that karka, that's what's important. That shows you whether or not obligation, debt, is simply an amorphous exchange of personal promises. Like, oh, you gave me this, I've got to give you back that. But there's nothing there. Or there's something called a state of and a status of debt or indebtedness. The fact that you can trigger a shibud when there is karka, to me, may be as important as the shibud itself. Then, even without karka, the mandamar who held shibud of the raisa would have a different perspective on what a milva is, and would say that you could use it for mecher. That's kind of a little bit, that's one example. Let me give you a second example. Is there a difference between different types of debts? Is there a difference between a debt that is incurred in the classical, typical way, meaning I lent you money, like as a Jew, interest-free, now you owe me to back, I lent you $100, you have to give me back $100, priyas b'chol mitzvah, right? You have to give me back $100. That's one kind of a situation. Let's talk about another situation. Like the Gemara Daf Chav Ches, which is, I buy something, right? And I owe you, right, the money for it. HaKafas HaKhanus, or the debt of a mecher. Is that any different than the debt of a milva? Well, in both cases, it's amorphous. Like there's nothing you can put your hands on. However, I think instinctively we all feel that these are two different types of debts.
You wouldn't say shibud d'oraisa in this case.
Forget about shibud d'oraisa for the moment. Although that might have been enough, I mean, although I don't know if it's strong enough. You know, that distinction is that strong enough. What I mean to say is that if I lend you money and you have to pay me back, and especially I'm lending you money as a kind of a tzedakah, it's very amorphous. It's an exchange of ischaibuyos. It's an exchange of promises, basically. Right? Or it's a gift in exchange for a promise. But when I owe you money for something I received and have not yet paid for, right? If I buy groceries from you, you know, and I take them and I lug them home and I haven't paid you yet, the correspondence is so much more concrete, right? So it's interesting. This is an issue that comes up in two contexts that I'm aware of. One is here, I'll explain in a minute. And the other is in terms of Shemitah's Ksafim. Is there a difference between, right, Shemitah's Ksafim of a loan and Shemitah's Ksafim of a chov that is incurred by not having paid for a mecher? Right? I'll give you another example. We could argue about the distinction, but a similar example. Schiras Poalim. Right? I owe you money because you lent me money, or I owe you money because you worked and you created something or you fixed something for me. They're both debts, but they might be different types of debts. Right? I'll give you another example of a debt, one second, in exactly the other way. The debt of a ribbis, which the Gemara speaks about. Let's say, because it's illegal, and because it doesn't correspond to anything, it's what I call the parallel opposite, let's say, of a more concrete loan by means of mecher or skiras poel. Mecher and skiras poelim are, like, every minute that I haven't paid you, and then I'm holding on to these, or benefiting from these other goods, it's like a breach almost, right? Because the quid pro quo, the exchange for the groceries or the watch or whatever it is, right, is glaringly, you know, absent. It's not like, oh, I lent you money for 30 days. I didn't lend you money for 30 days. I didn't lend you money for 1 minute. You got my watch. You're supposed to pay me money. You haven't paid me. That pressure, that correspondence makes the loan more concrete. And the same thing is true with Skiras Poalim. I'm supposed to pay you. You did pool on my... There's no 30 days. There's no volunteer. It's not tzedakah. Didn't start as tzedakah. That's the difference. The opposite case of that is ribbis. Why? I lent you $4, right? And I'm charging you $5. illegally charging you rentis. Number one, the fifth is illegal. Number two, and that's why it's illegal, it doesn't correspond to anything that was received. Right? It's just an agreement that he's going to give me the fifth. Bishlom, if I give you $100, even if you have a month or 2 months or a year to repay me, okay, I mean, there's the count. You received 100 and you should be giving back 100. But you received 4, you know, you didn't receive 5. Well, giving back the 5 is part of the agreement for the 4, but it doesn't correspond to anything you received. So it's both illegal. It's agar natar. Fine. But I understand. But it's still not as directly proportional. It's not directly correspondent, right? Even as an, you know, from an economical point of view, you know, it might be compelling enough to be perceived as legitimate, but it isn't correspondent, right? The point I'm trying to make is, are all debts the same? Or are there different gradations in debts? So, just one more second. The Re Hazaken and Afchavches, and it's a tshuva of the Rimigash, suggest that maybe the reason on Daf, the Gemara in Daf Chavches that we were talking about before, that Rashi and Rambam read is, you know, kolanasa damim ba'acher, you know, the Dmei Par and the Dmei Chamar, they say, you know why that works? That's a milva that seems to work. Because that's a milva shel mecher. They make this distinction. Yeah?
I just think of an intermediate case where you get the store credit.
Like a kafas kanos. What do you mean you get? Oh, you get store credit.
I buy 3 cans of vegetables and I have an understanding that I won't pay it.
I mean, it's all you put on charge.
Yeah.
I think that's very similar. That's called hakafas achanus, right, in halacha. That's very similar to a chov mecher. Except maybe it's understood meirosh that you have a certain amount of time.
Right.
That's part of the incentive of buying in the store. Right, but it's still different than a loan, which is a pure act of tzedakah. So that's somewhere in between. So, for example, in Shemitah's Ksafim, this is the point I was trying to make, there's a whole discussion of the Kesef Mishnah, Beis Yosef speaks about it in a few places, in the Kesef Mishnah, in the Beis Yosef. There's a whole discussion about this, you know, whether it makes sense to distinguish in Shemitah's Ksafim between a milva of mecher and a milva of milva. That's exactly the question.
Okay.
So that is Riyaz Zakein's and Rigash's Yishuv of the Gemara Daf Chavches. Yeah.
Shouldn't it make a difference whether the loan is due now or whether the loan is due in 50 years? In one case, the loan is much more concrete.
I think so. So let's take it
down. It's working to you if the loan is due now.
Excellent. So maybe we should look again at what Harvach Azman means according to all the Rishonim. Right? Or Hanas Milva. Till now, we've looked at Hanas Milva, certainly the way Rashi tells us and many of the Rishonim interpret it, as something totally different. And they were asking me that before, right? Meaning, it's not the money of the debt, the way I was explaining it was like Rakod Lefanai, or Arev, according to some, or Adabra Laich Leshilton. It's, you know, I feel good. I feel free. I don't have this debt over my head. Right? Maybe there's another way to look at it. It's interesting. Look at what the Rambam did here. The Rambam Perikei, the Chassidus. You know, the Rambam was a master, as we've said, organizer. So, and formulator. So we should always read what he does and what he writes, you know, with a microscope. So this is on page 3. Halacha Yud Gimel we read already. That's when the Rambam said that the reason Milva doesn't work in Kiddushin is because it's lacking an immediate Hana, which is a Kiddushin issue. Then we said, sounds like Mecher would be fine. That can't be, right? And then we looked at the Rambam and we saw, yes, that's what he holds. And then we said, what do you do with the Gemaras? And then we've been discussing that since then. Does he distinguish between Mecher and Milva? Does he distinguish between Mecher and Kiddushin? Right? Fine. Then comes Halacha Yud Dalid, which is fascinating. Look at number 16. Hayelo Etzla Milva Alamashkon Bekitcha be'osa milva, be'hichzir lo'osa mashkon, this is on page 5, harezu mekudeshes, sharehi nenis b'mashkon be'ata, v'harehi giya hana aliyada. Wow. Okay, what is this from? This is a Gemara, but not a Gemara here. Another great example of the Rambam. A Gemara later on in Daf Yud Tes. Look at this for 1 minute. See, it's our last day and we're all over the Masechta. Yud Tes. On the bottom of the page, 3 lines up from the bottom of the page. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman. Everybody with me? Hamekadish b'milva sheyesh ala mashkon mekudeshes. Midrab Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. If you're mekadish b'milva sheyesh ala mashkon mekudeshes midin Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Good. Then the Gemara goes on. The Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda part we're not going to get into right now. This is where the Gemara says mekadish b'milva sheyesh ala mashkon mekudeshes. Now, what could that possibly mean? Right? If Mekadish B'milva is not Mekudeshes, why is Mekadish B'milva She'esh Alamashkan Mekudeshes? So some Rishonim said that this Kedushin is Chal by means of the Mashkon. It's not a tweaking of Mekadish B'milva. It's a thing later on, the Gemara in Daf Ches speaks about Mekadish B'mashkan. Right? If you have a pawn, can you be that's in your possession as a security? Do you own it enough to be Mekadesh with it? Is that what the Gemara is talking about here? So Tosas and the Ramban and others say, definitely not. Doesn't sound like it. The Gemara should have quoted Daf Ches. Look at Tosas for a minute. B'mil v'sheish l'amashkin b'kudesh yisim rabi yosir rabi says Tosas, ein l'farish demari b'mashkin shalom b'shas alvan d'kanim v'drabi yitzhak. The bottom Tosas. Right? Don't think the Kiddushin here is with the Mashkon, and then it's Midin Rabbi Yitzchak, that's a Gemara later on. Dim Kein, Hayel Allah HaVikand, Rabbi Yitzchak, Kemoshe Hevi La'el, Gabi Kitchen B'Mashkon Mekudeshas. Da'afilu Ein Machzer Lo HaMash, then it would be even if he didn't give back the Mashkon, El Shemochel Samilva. Tosas is trying to figure out. In the end, Tosas says him that the answer is that the Kiddushin is with Hanos Mechilas Milva. Okay. Rambam didn't understand it that way. How did the Rambam understand it? So remember what the Rambam did here. The Gemara here on the Avamid base has a very clear halacha. What's that? The Kaddish B'milva in the Mekudeshes. Right? Then the Gemara falls off. What's the next halacha in the Gemara? Panas Milva Mekudeshes. Right? What did the Rambam do? He quotes the first halacha, and then you'd expect him to quote the second halacha. Instead, he goes to Daf. He plucked something out of Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Hamekadish b'milva sheyesh ala mashkon. Right? That's halacha Yud Aleph. And only in halacha Tes Vav does he get back to Hamekadish b'hanos milva. Why did the Rambam bring in something from Yud Tes Amud Aleph to be mafsik between the two halachos on Vav and Beis? The answer is because the Rambam understood that Mekadesh B'milva Sheyesh Ala Mashkon is a way of rehabilitating Mekadesh B'milva. And, I think, that Mekadesh B'hanos Milva for the Rambam is also a way of being Mekadesh B'milva that works. Unlike the way Rashi and Tosas understood the distinction. Meaning, let's go back a second. What's the Chiddush of the Rambam in Mekadesh B'milva? Two things. Number one, that it does work in Becher, and still it doesn't work in Kiddushin. That we'd spend time on, right? So Milva isn't so ridiculous as money, because it works in Becher. Right? It still doesn't work in Kiddushin. Why doesn't it work in Kiddushin? Because there's no immediate Hana. Not because it's on Kesef, ever. Because it's Kesef in Nekachum Emkar. Because you need Kesef Shalom. So if it isn't so bad, Baharaya works in Macher, it can be Kesef. It's just not Kesef Shalana. So what if I can make it Kesef Shalana? Right? By making it more, a little more, by making the Milva a little more concrete. Says the Rambam, Halacha Yudalid, Hoyelo Etzla Milva Alamashkon, the kid should be Osa Milva. The Kiddushin isn't with the Mashkon. It's with the milva, but a milva she yesh b'mashkon. The hichser is a mashkon. By giving back the mashkon when he's mekadesh with the milva, what he did was harezim kudeshes. Why? Sharehi nenis b'mashkon me'ata v'harehi giyano liyada. This Rambam is written so perfectly. Because the Rambam just wrote in the previous halacha that the only reason Mekadosh Milva doesn't work is because it's lacking a concrete kesef shalana. So the next halacha, the Rambam plucks the Gemara from Yud Tesamid Aleph and says, if I could find a milva in which there is kesef shalana, it's going to work. So that's the next perfect halacha. So now that the Rambam's on a roll, right? Maybe we should understand Hanas Milva that way too. What did you ask me a second ago? Like what? What if the Milva? What did you ask me? That what if the Milvas do? Maybe that makes it more concrete because it's not just this abstract, futuristic, Chavas Hagavra. Because right now it's do. That makes it more concrete in the present, right? Maybe, right? So look at the next halach on the Rambam. Hamakadish b'hanas milva. Now we're up to hanas milva finally, right after the hefsek, but not really a hefsek, right? Mekudeshes. How is the mekudeshes? Ketzad. Kagon. Shehilva osa ata masayim zuz. Right? He lent now 200 zuz. The key word there is ata, now. Right now he just lent 200 zuz. The Harvokas Zimna of the Rambam, the extension of the loan, is at the outset of the loan, not in the middle of the loan. The Eini Tovas Mimcha or Mimech Adzman Ploni Harizim Kudeshes. Sure, Yeshal Name Ata, same words again. Right? There's concrete hana in the present. Lishtamish b'milvazu ad sov zman shakava. Because right now he increased it. But also last name of the Q. Kiribis. Then he says, Upirshu rabosai b'hanas milva dvarim shein roi l'shaman. There are all sorts of perushim, and I don't think the others are correct. The riff. So what did the Rambam do? A remarkable thing. He said the harbokas hazman has to be in the beginning. Because that's when the milva is most concrete, when you hand over the money. So it's true he's not being kaddish with the milva, but he's being kaddish by saying, I was going to give you this money for 30 days. If you marry me, I'm going to let you keep the money for 60 days. But if he said it after one day, it would be too amorphous. Since he said it at the outset, and it's connected to the nesina, even though it isn't the nesina, it's a way of concretizing the nesina. It isn't hanas milva for the Rambam. The hanas milva, like the mashkon, is a way of animating or concretizing the kiddushin b'milva. Look at the riff in the back for a minute. In the back of the Gemara.
And I'll walk you down. Why didn't you say Yosel Lassos came
when they
have Rabbi Shmuel? Why didn't you say Yosel Lassos came when they have Rabbi Shmuel?
Why should it be?
Because of Harbach's man. If your doubt is
no, because that's the mashkan. There's no. There's no harvach hazman there.
No harvach revis in your doubt.
I don't think so. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say that either. By mashkan. Okay, look at the Rambam for a minute. Base omid aleph to base on the daf erif. I think based on the daf erif. No, I think it is. My source of daf is a little different here. Amar Abaye Hamikdash be Yehavan the Milva in the Mekudeshes. Where is it? Hamikdash. Listen to this. Hamikdash be Milva in the Mekudeshes. Vanos Milva Mekudeshes. Vaso Lasking Bnei Ramas Ribs. That's our Gemara. Hanos Milva Hechadami. Listen to this. Kegon. The mate zimna lemigma mina, the arvach la zimna. The omer la b'ayin no, the arvachna adzman ploni mekudeshesli. What's the chiddush of the riff? Not the same as the Rambam, but very parallel to the Rambam. The Rambam said you have to do harvachas man at the beginning when you give the money. What does the Rif say? At the end. Exactly what you said. When it's Mati Zman Lepiron. Who cares? What's the difference if he does it in the middle or towards the end or towards the beginning or he does it at the end? The end it, from a Hana point of view, if it was really... Because they're not interpreting it that way so much. There are two ways to say it. One is that the Hana has to be connected to something more concrete. Or they don't really mean Hana here. They mean a way of concretizing the Milva. So look now back at the Ravid. Look at the Ravid. We just read what? Perek Hey, Halacha Tesvav. Look at the Ravid in Halacha Tesvav. Line 23. What, line 23, everybody? I'm sorry we're going a little quickly, but it's... I just want to show you the sweep of this. So you can see there are patterns here that are unmistakable in the sense of what they're trying... One way or another, what they're trying to do. Omer Avram. Everybody have it? Line 23? Page 3. Page 3, line 23. Right. So let's just remember, before we start, what does Harbachas Hazman mean for the Rambam? At the time that you extend the loan, right, you're Makadish, I should say extend. At the time when you initiate the loan, you extend, right, the period of payment beyond, let's say, the typical or the original thinking. But it's at the time of the giving of the loan. According to the Rif, it's at the time when the loan is due. Right? What does the Ravid say? Amar Avram. Harishonim Pirshu, Kagon Shigiyaz Mana Milva, Lipara, referring to the Rif. It's time to repay the loan. But then he adds, Uma Osa Biyada Mizumanim Lifroa. And the money is sitting on the table, ready to be repaid. If the money is sitting on the table because he just received it, she just received it, it doesn't matter, it's Mivlo Tanitna. But is it still Mivlo Tanitna when it's due and the money is on the table? But it sounds like what the Ravid is saying is, if the money wasn't on the table, the Rif wouldn't be enough. Right? Vihi hoisa nosenes miyad biratzon, right? Dina lemisha marech lazman, Chodesh Achad. Eherech lo b'schara kiddushim mekudeshes. Zehu d'arvach zimna. Kol shkei masha kasavu. He says the Rambam's case certainly would work. But you don't even need the Rambam's case. If it's due and the money's on the table, that's fine. There's a tshuva of the Ravid in which he discusses this idea that, you know, when the money is on the table and it's due, right, that it's, you know, it becomes almost like a be'en. He discusses that. Yeah.
So why is extending the money any different? I mean, you're taking a case where the money's there to pay it back, and then he just extends the time. Yeah. Why is that any difference that he just makes the loan?
Well, I guess if he just made the loan.
The loan is extending time. Exactly equivalent.
You asked him according to the Rambam.
Right, just in any case, it's exactly the same. If she has the money there to pay him, and the guy gives her another month, or if he just goes to somebody else and he makes her a new loan, for another month.
Well, these are different cases. You have to ask, one more time.
In the case over here, where she has the money to make the payment back, and it's due today.
I mean, according to the Ravid.
And he extends it for another month.
Right.
Okay. He's getting the benefit of extending it for another month.
Okay.
That is exactly equivalent to going to somebody else and borrowing the money for a month.
And borrowing the money.
Borrowing another same dollar for a month. It's exactly the same benefit. The benefit of a 1 month extension versus the benefit of borrowing to somebody else.
Still, but the Ravid says.
Right, but borrowing from somebody new.
Yeah.
Who's getting a kiddushin is no good, whereas this extension.
Sort of, you can't be Mekadesh, you can't lend money and have the kiddushin as the ribbis.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying that the exact benefit in this case, it's exactly equivalent for him extending her a month on an existing.
It's not so different, but that's kind of what the Ravid was saying. The Ravid was saying, I agree with the Rambam. If you want to do it at the outset, that's fine too. He was saying that. By the way, let me tell you another example. Another shita that's very tamua. The Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says the case is that the Harbachas Hazman is a case where she takes the money, gives it back to him, and he gives it back to her. But it's not a new milvah.
It's an extension of the
okay.
But the extension has to be done in that way in order to comfort. So again, and you have to understand, historically, Rabbeinu Hananel, the Rif, you know, the Rambam, this is all, you know, one world. And then, of course, the Chachmei Provence. But either there are different versions of all these things. I believe that there are two versions. One version, as I say, is it's really Kiddushin Bahana. But the Hana has to be connected. This is a very important episode. That maybe the Hana has to be connected to something concrete. The other version is the one that we're seeing now, which is, well, that's what I'm trying to show the Rambam, which is, really, you can be Mekadesh B'Milvah as long as you can find a way to make it concrete. So there are all sorts of strategies to do that. For the Rambam, let's say. Mashkon, you know, Harvachas HaZman, maybe some of the others are saying, their views, their versions of Harvachas HaZman. The debt is due, the money's on the table, you're handing the money back and you're getting it back even though it isn't the new loan, it's the old loan.
Does the Rambam require that it has to be Bizman, because only then is there a connection?
Say that again?
Why has to be Bizman HaBot?
Yeah, because that's where it's concrete. It has to be connected to a concrete, the Sinas Hamos, right. Even though it's the Harvachas HaZman,
right.
You know, that
as opposed to the Raivad where it's the...
The other way, the opposite direction.
Right. Yeah.
But I think for the same reason, just that it's... Yeah.
How does this issue present itself before the Bezdin? Does she have to get a get if a second suitor comes along and attempts a Kiddushin with him?
I'm not trying to understand.
In other words, when did the issue come before the Bezdin to litigate?
No. We have to decide, are these... There's no stakos here. I mean, except I just want to say we don't know the Paskin, that's something else. Meaning, the Rambam is being very clear about what he thinks works and what doesn't work. Some of these things are Mekudeshes, and some of the things are definitely not Mekudeshes. The only time you'd have to put a Safek Get or something like that would be if we weren't sure, La Halacha. Like if you say, there's a debate between the Rambam and the Raivit or the Rambam and the Rif, and we don't know how to Paskin, then you might... be choshesh for a get lechumra, but that's not different than any other case where there happens to be a machlokas.
So how was it called into question, the kedushin?
Not called into question. The Gemara says, Hamakadish v'milva ena mekudeshes. The same Gemara says, Hamakadish b'anas milva mekudeshes. The debate that we're talking about is to figure out how wrong, how problematic is a milvah? And can it be compensated for and made good? And is Hanas milvah, which works, also limited or has to be of a certain character? Or is it itself the tweaking of the milvah? We're just talking about the different perushim of what is Mekadesh B'Milvah, which is certainly no good? What is Mekadesh B'Hanas milvah, which is certainly good? Depending on the argument of those cases, there's an argument which falls into which category. That's all, like any other case. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's clear that there's a psak. Everybody agrees on the psak, Mekadesh Milvein and Mekudeshes. Everybody agrees on Mekadesh Banos Milvein and Mekudeshes. There happened to be, like, you know, many other legal questions, a debate how to define those categories. Now, if you can't figure out who to paskin like and how to define them, you might have to go to a judge, and you might have to get a psak, and so on. But that's no different than any other... Okay, per se, in the Gemara, there's no safek. There's a safek because we're not... There are different perushim and the rishonim when we're trying to figure out which one. I'm not even trying to do that. I'm trying to explain what the patterns are and how the Rambam understood this problem and how consistent how remarkably consistent I think he is... down the road in every case and having like a very clear cut, you know, consistent view on it. Yeah.
So could you just explain, I don't understand the case of Mo Vishesh Lo Mashko. What does it mean?
It means that there's
the case.
What is the case?
Yeah.
Okay. So Reuven lent money to Sarah, $100. Sarah gave Reuven a mashkon in lieu of that obligation. That is, that if at the right time she's not able to repay, then he will keep the mashkon. Or
he's got to return the mashkon to her.
He what?
He's got to return the mashkon to her.
It's when she returns the money. But he can hold the mashkon until she returns the money.
It's not his property.
Well, that's what Rabbi Yitzchak says on Daf Ches Amud Beis. If you look here just very, very quickly, because we're not going to get to this Gemara right now, but because we're going to finish in a minute. But this is a famous Gemara on Daf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says here, look here on Ches Amud Beis, on the top. The Gemara says, Esvei Rav L'Rav Nachman. Second line from the top. Kidsha b'mashkon. If he is mekadesh her with a mashkon, the Gemara says mekudeshes. So the Gemara says hasun b'mashkon d'acherim mekud Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak minayin l'balchov shekone mashkon shenemar ulecha tiyat zdaka. Imein akone tzedaka minayin mekayin l'balchov shekone mashkon. What that means is that if, in the case we talked about, Reuven lent money to Sarah. He took Sarah's watch as a surety, right? It means that he has the right to keep that until she repays him. He may even have the right to collect it if she doesn't or refuses to pay him. And now the Gemara wants to know, how much kinyanim does he have in that watch? Is he a part owner of that watch? Ad kedei kach, could he be mekadesh somebody else with that watch? There's a famous discussion of Mashko and Rabbi Yitzchak. For example, the Gemara discusses it in Kiddushin. The Gemara discusses in Gittin about Shemitas Ksafim. If there's a loan and there's a Mashkon, does the Kinyan and the Mashkon strong enough that it neutralizes Loigos and you don't need a Prusbul? Or not? Then the Gemara has a discussion of Psachim about Bayir or Bayir Matzeh. Then the Gemara has a discussion about Metzia, about Skiras Poalim, and whether you're, when you hold on to Mashkan, are you a Shomer Chinam, are you a Socher, are you a Shomer Sachar, are you a Shoel? That's part of the discussion here. So that is the issue of the status of Mashkan. But what the Rambam was saying about the Gemara in Daf Yud Tes, and what the Gemara says, Milva Sheyesh Alei Mashkan, so those Tatsutos is also getting at, some people say, oh, that's Shaykh to this Gemara, being Mekadosh B'Mashkan. Tosis and the Rambam both say, no. When you're being Mekadosh B'Milva Sheyesh Aleha, or Sheyesh Alev Mashkon, you're trying to be Mekadosh with the Milva, not with the Mashkon. The Mashkon, that's the Gemara here in Chesed and Beis.
So
can
you,
I see our, what?
So yeah. Let's say you keep the loan, you say she owes you the money, but you give her back the Mashkon. You give her the Mashkon back.
Well, if she doesn't give you, she gives you back the money or not? She borrowed money.
She still owes me the money, but I give her the mashkon. So now I have an unsecured debt.
Why would you do that?
But I want to be mekadesh.
Oh, you want to be mekadesh with her? No, that's mil mekadesh from mil b'shoy shemashka. Not gonna, right? She still owes you the debt, though.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, our time's come to close. Unfortunately, I wish everybody a good summer. But these are obviously very, very intriguing and important topics. So, hope everybody continues to. What? Tam v'nishlam, but no tam v'nishlam, like it always is. I wish everybody a wonderful summer. We'll figure out what we're doing
next year.